Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is written in the book of the Revelation of St. John, chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and along with the elders and the four living creatures, they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "Who are these people in white robes, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." Then he told me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, what if I were to tell you there were some terrible battles in a long, drawn-out, protracted war? Say some kingdom, you could say it was in Europe or some other part of the world, was under attack from a powerful enemy determined to destroy it. The war was fought bitterly. And the existence of this kingdom was hanging in the balance for years and years. But that's okay, nobody got hurt. You'd look at me, "What?" You'd be skeptical. Thousands of weapons, deadly weapons, fired in anger, fortresses destroyed, the hatred of the attackers was vicious. Nobody hurt. And yet, although we expect there to be casualties in war, people who are involved in a great cosmic battle somehow think that there won't be casualties among us. We are the church militant. The kingdom of our Messiah is under attack to destroy it by destroying every soul in it. The gates of hell rise up against us. The devil prowls around like a lion seeking our destruction. And so you think nobody's going to be hurt. Therefore, if God's people, Christ's people, if the Christian church exists, one mark of it is that they get hurt, that they suffer persecution. As Jesus says, Christians bear a cross. We often say that the human race is engaged in a great cosmic battle. It means a battle that extends beyond this time and beyond this place. Not just Christians, but the whole human race is caught up in it. The fact is, everyone in the human race is, first of all, born on the wrong side. Hostile to God. As Paul puts it in Romans 8, the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Now, if the devil and the world, meaning everything in this world that's opposed to Christ, and sinful nature are all arrayed against God, when we are faithful to Him, the fact is, we're going to face that same opposition, aren't we? All people are on one side or another. And it may be that in our lifetimes we have been on the other side, more than just that brief time between birth and baptism. To bear the cross of such opposition is a mark of the Church of Christ. As Jesus himself said in Luke 9, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And he wasn't saying we're earning heaven by bearing that cross, but to be confronted by the cross is a natural result of being faithful to Christ. So if we're part of the church militant, how is this battle fought? Well, many ways, of course, but perhaps surprisingly to you, one way is by invasion. When our first parents rebelled against God, then they were set against him. And many of their descendants, especially in the spirit of Cain, that is, in the spirit of unbelief, remained in rebellion against him. And by invasion, God invades this world. And he brings with him gifts of life to those who are dead and spiritually dead and dying. Gifts of life and salvation to those who need to be rescued from their sin. And he calls the whole world to account and calls them to repentance. And he greets that repentance with his mercy. This isn't just here in Lombard, but it's on every continent. It isn't just here and now in 2018, but it's in every age of the world. This conflict doesn't involve just our bodies, but also our souls. And casualties, although they may be counted even physically among those who lose their life in persecution, the real casualties involve the eternal loss of an immortal soul. On the other hand, Christ's victories are counted in those who come to know him, who come to faith in him, and who endure in that faith until the end. And that's what is pictured here in our text. Our text reflects all of this in recounting the celebration of the victory in Christ, the celebration of those who bore their crosses in the tribulation and were delivered from it because they found victory and salvation in the righteousness of Christ, the one who washed us white in his blood. After this I looked, our text says, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and along with the elders and the four living creatures, they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." The vastness of this multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language shows the scope of this spiritual conflict. While we find our victory in the resurrection to eternal life and in fellowship with our Creator, between now and the fullness of that victory, the church will always bear a cross. Christians will always bear a cross. And since Jesus didn't just save the well-known, the powerful, or the famous people. He wasn't a savior just for them, but he's a savior also for people like us. We will likewise find ourselves in the battle and may very well bear the wounds of it. It may be hard persecution, such as our brothers and sisters face in the Middle East, as Karim Yaglici taught us just a couple of weeks ago. They're confronted. Renounce Christ, or we saw off your head. Or it may be like our brothers and sisters in Africa, where when the Muslim militia tear through their towns, they steal all of the girls for slaves. Or it may be hard persecution like our brothers and sisters in China, who worship at the underground church because the churches that have the approval of the state put the state above God himself. Or the cross we bear may be a soft persecution. Maybe just somebody snickering because of our faith. We may be ridiculed, may lose a job, or, as has happened in this country, may be punished for refusing to take part in a government-protected vice, such as perverse weddings or dispensing of abortifacients. But the objects of persecution are not just those who insist upon doing what's right. So often when we think of Christians being persecuted, we think of them because they're taking a moralistic stand. And that may very well be the case. But it is especially because of the grace of God that Christians are persecuted. You know, why do we bring up the matter of right and wrong after all? Is it to visit punishment upon those who do wrong? That's not our calling. It's so that they can leave that losing team of the devil and join ours. Is it so that, it's so that in hearing that they have sinned, they may know that they have a Savior. And so it's for the grace of God that we bear, or should bear, our cross. Sometimes our spiritual battles involve fighting our own temptations or upholding the right against the world. Sometimes we bear a cross because we support the truth. Maybe in school we bear witness to the divine origin of the world instead of worshiping the material universe as though it created itself. Maybe it's upholding the doctrine of justification by grace through faith when we're amongst people who want to turn Christianity just into another moralistic religion of the law. The first thing, though, that we uphold as Christians is always the grace of God. The law, though important, is a taskmaster leading us to Christ, so that we may know his grace. It shows us our sin so that we may find our Savior. This cosmic battle we are in is finally all about Christ, all about grace, all about our Savior. So whether we bear our cross in facing our own temptations, our own doubts and fears, or in persecution, soft or hard, the fact is that you can expect the cross to be found wherever there are Christians, wherever Christians are faithful to Christ and confess his name. But it's important to understand that while we may bear this cross now, in fact, it might even look like losers, we're in the minority. It may very well look like we're doomed for destruction in an earthly sense. The fact is that Christ has won our victory. And so we sing, salvation belongs to our God who is seated upon the throne and to the Lamb. And so you, also your brothers in Christ, also your sisters in Christ, wherever they may be, all of us who have those marks of the church, the Word of God, holy baptism, the Holy Supper of Christ, confession and absolution, faithful ministers, and wherever we gather together with other believers, we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and His victory is ours. And what though cross and trial grieve us, as Gerhard taught us to sing, the victory remains ours. And we show that grace in the way we treat one another. We don't hold grudges against one another. We don't hold sins against one another. And neither do we despair of our own forgiveness, because Christ, our atoning sacrifice, is risen. And because of Christ, we set that example which the world especially hates, that we're kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also has forgiven us in Christ. For this we bear a cross. To live and to believe these promises of Christ's is to remain faithful. And to those who bear a cross or will bear a cross, Jesus himself pleads with us. In Revelation 2, he says, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.